good thing or is it a bad thing? There's no wrong answer. You can shout whatever you like at this stage and you'll be right. It's one of those good ones. What do you think? Hands up if you think it's a good thing. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If somebody comes into church in a minute with a sawn-off shotgun, the right thing to do would be to run for that exit, I reckon, because it would be fear. It would be fight or flight. So you'd either go to attack the person and get the rifle off them, or you'd run. It'd be one or the other, fight or flight. So fear of itself is not a bad thing. But living under fear is a terrible thing. Living with the presence of fear there all the time. And I'm sure there's people in the congregation this morning that can really understand that. The times when you've really been afraid for some reason. So what does Paul say about it? In 2 Timothy 1:1-7, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remember you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you read the letters of Paul, all of them, one after the other, if you get to 2 Timothy, you'll find that it's the most personal one. It's written to somebody that Paul was very close to. He calls him a beloved son. He loved this guy. He absolutely loved Timothy. When was it written? When did Paul write this letter? Where was he? He was in prison, Linda. That's right, yeah. And there's a contrast between when he was in prison the first time and when he was in prison the second time. The first time, he was a political prisoner awaiting trial. He was a house prisoner in his own home that he knew and was a comfortable dwelling place. He was visited by many, and it was a relatively nice place to be in prison. Now, in these times of COVID, I think we can all understand that, can't we? Because whilst we've been prisoners in our own homes, it feels like for the last 18 months or more, I think it is, at least we've been in our own homes. At least we've been somewhere that we feel relatively comfortable. The second time, he was a condemned criminal. He was awaiting death. He was huddled in a cold, dark and damp dungeon. Nobody could see him, and he could easily have felt forsaken by everybody. Very different circumstances. But he wrote this letter during the second imprisonment, when he was totally on his own and isolated. So Paul takes the time to give a little reassurance to his son in the Lord, Timothy. Paul addresses it and says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Age doesn't matter. I can say that now because I'm 60 now. It's very important to keep saying it after 60, I'm told. You just keep saying age doesn't matter, age doesn't matter. But it doesn't. God can work with people when they're 7, 8, whatever. And he can work with people when they're 80, 90, 100. God is still the same God. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy had permitted himself to be surrounded by fear. Fear of others, fear of failure, fear of spiritual warfare. And Paul says to Timothy, fear is not of God. Fear is not of God. Franklin Roosevelt once said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But then again, if we had no fear, we'd quite likely injure ourselves. Remember when your children were little? And, well, when I was little, we had proper fires. And, yeah, they had a fire guard in front of it. And I clearly remember going towards the fire guard and being told by my mum and dad, no, come away, come away. Don't go near that. Don't touch it. It's hot and you'll hurt yourself. And if they hadn't have done that, I would have hurt myself. So fear is there for a reason. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I was talking to my son, James, only on this last break that we went near Southend-on-Sea. And I said, does it scare you, the work that you do? Because he works at Heights, which I wouldn't like, and he works with electricity all the time, and that can be quite frightening. And he said, it doesn't scare me, because the first thing that we taught when we do any electrician's course is to respect electricity. Treat it with the utmost respect. And we're told that you turn the power off before you do anything, then you check that you've turned the power off, and then you get someone else to check that you've done it properly and turned it off. And if you show that respect to it, it's not going to harm you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What sort of respect do we show to God? Does anyone know what the Greek word is for fear, Paul? You should know, it's a very common word. It's a word that you use all the time to talk about fear of anything.
Phobia.
Yes. Well done, the man with the teeth. Phobia. Yes. So I'm going to tell you a few phobias, and then we're going to have a little quiz and see if you can guess a few phobias. Are you good at phobias? Ablutophobia. This isn't the quiz, this is just to get you in the mood for it. Ablutophobia. Any ideas? Yes, well done. Your ablutions. Well done. Fear of washing or bathing. Has anyone got ablutophobia? Well, nobody sat on their own, so... Yeah. What about acrophobia? Now, I've mentioned this one already when I was... Sorry? No, acro, A-C-R-O. I've got this a bit.
Heights.
Fear of heights, that's right. Some easy ones, easier. Claustrophobia. Enclosed spaces. Yeah, I'm not really keen on enclosed spaces. Agoraphobia. Now, that's the one I think you thought I said.
Yeah.
Open spaces. Yeah. Ergophobia. Again, if you're a word genius, you might be able to work it out from ergo. Ergophobia. No. Ergonomics is the study of work, so it's fear of work. Yeah? Everyone's got a bit of that. And a funny one, lacanophobia. L-A-C-H-A-N-ophobia. Now, Elizabeth would say that I definitely got this. Definitely. She hasn't got this, but I definitely have got it. Apart from possibly peas and sweet corn. Vegetables. Fear of vegetables. What a funny thing to have fear of. So let's have a look at a few more, and you can actually have a guess at these ones. I'm going to put them up. But people can be scared of anything. Paul shares with us two things. He says there's something known as the spirit of fear. And he says that the spirit of fear was not sent by God. If it wasn't sent by God, it can only have come from one place, can't it? So it was sent from Satan. It was sent from the devil himself. The spirit of fear. And fear is linked to forgetfulness. We forget God and we concentrate on fear. And that makes the fear worse. Timothy probably didn't have much to fear, but Paul did. And yet he was able to say, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I have committed unto him. He totally believed that God was in control. Even in prison, Paul would remember God's goodness and fear would vanish. If we remember the love of God, the goodness of God, fear somehow disappears. Like a mist, it just rolls away. Have you heard of someone called Caleb? I know Jeff's heard of someone called Caleb, because I've heard him preach on Caleb in the past. Paul, have you heard of Caleb? 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 Caleb. Okay. Have you heard of Caleb? Yeah. Caleb was one of the spies sent by Moses from Kadesh in Palestine to spy out the land of Canaan. And Caleb and Joshua advised the Hebrews to proceed immediately and take the land. And they were the only two that said that. All the others that were sent out said, oh, we better go home. We better go back where we came from. It's very, very scary out there. And there's lots of people that can harm us and kill us. So, no, let's not bother. Let's just go. But Caleb said, we will take the land. And he very famously used the words, give me this mountain, to God. He said to God, give me this mountain. And we're going to listen to a song, and it's called Give Me This Mountain. Frightened, we can either see that mountain as something that's in the way and that stops us and prevents us from doing what we want to do, or we can claim it. We can say to God, give me this mountain, make it into something that not only do I achieve by getting over it, but it actually builds me into a better person than I was before. It makes me more the person that you want me to be. Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. We have residing in us the power to conquer any foe. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the Bible tells us again and again and again that love conquers fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There was a preacher that made an acrostic for fear, F-E-A-R, and he said, fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. And when we're scared, when we're fearful, it does seem very, very real to us, but it isn't, because God has already overcome it. Just to close, there's a story told about some Japanese soldiers that were holed up in caves. And they were holed up in caves in 1970. And they were hiding from the war that finished in 1945. 25 years of living in fear in a cave, not knowing that the war is over. Fear not, Luke 10, verse 10. The war is over, so don't be afraid. Jesus has already won the battle, so we need to stop living as though it's still going on. It's already been won. We're already people of victory. Amen.